chapter 28, verses 11 to 16, Paul's arrival at Rome. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there for 3 days. From there we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day the south wind came up, and on the following day we reached Puteoli. There we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming, and they had travelled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. In verses 30 and 31, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
Well, it's great to be with you all again, and especially great to be with you this morning as we finish our series, 30 Years That Changed the World, where we've been going through the book of Acts. Would you believe we've been going through it since January? So this is the end of a 6-month journey for us as a church. And I remember standing here at church in January announcing that we were going to be spending a long time going through the book of Acts and saying we'll finish it sometime in June. That seemed a long way off, and none of us anticipated that we wouldn't actually be able to be together to finish the series, but nonetheless here we are, and it's really exciting to be finishing this series and to be looking at Acts chapter 28 with us this morning. Well, as we finish our journey through the book of Acts, in Acts 28, we find Paul coming to the end of his journey too. This map that I can show you on the screen, there's a lot of detail going on there, but it shows us Paul's 3 missionary journeys in different colours, and then shows this final part of his journey to Rome in green, and it goes up there through Malta. In Acts chapter 28, we find him landing at Malta. He gets bitten by a viper that comes out of a bonfire in Malta, and then after a while he sets sail again, lands in Sicily, and then travels on through up to Rome. And this has always been where Paul was heading. I think right at the start of this series I said this journey will see Paul always heading towards Rome. Now Jesus commissioned the disciples, commissioned his followers to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, and in many ways Rome was the centre of the Roman Empire, and it would have felt like the ends of the earth to Jesus's followers. And that's where Paul has always been heading. And in Acts chapter 28, we find him awaiting a trial. If you remember, when he was arrested back in Jerusalem, he pleaded for a fair trial in Rome. And so now he's landed in Rome and he's awaiting a trial. And in Roman culture at that time, the procedure was to allow 2 years, or up to 2 years, for the prosecution to build a case against the defendant. And that's what we find happening here to Paul. He's awaiting trial and he's awaiting for his accusers to build their case. And tradition tells us that there was no trial at this point. But all Paul writes at the end of Acts 28 is this. We find here, for 2 whole years Paul stayed there in his own rented house, under house arrest, and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. It's an incredible just couple of statements there, isn't it? That awaiting trial, potentially fearing for his life, Paul continues to tell people about Jesus. What an incredible thing he did. You know, we've all been in lockdown, aren't we? And many of us remain kind of very much tied to our home, spending more time at home. So we can get a glimpse of this, but it's just been 3 months for us. But for 2 whole years, Paul was in that situation, but he wasn't thinking about himself, he wasn't moaning, he wasn't grumbling. He was thinking about us, thinking about the gospel. You know, tradition tells us that this trial never happened for Paul, that his accusers never did show up, and that he was released. And he carried on sharing the gospel, but a few years later he was arrested again. He was put on trial again, and this time he was executed. But the amazing thing is that even at that point, Paul is still full of God. He has an incredible attitude. You know, just before he did die, just before he was executed a few years later, we know that some of the last writings he wrote were the letters to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, and that 2 Timothy was written just before he was put on trial and executed. And from what we see and from what he writes in 2 Timothy, we can get another glimpse at his mindset. And so we're going to go back to Paul Keyes, who's going to read 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8 to us. Thanks, Paul.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. For I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing.
It's incredible what we hear Paul writing. There's some really famous verses there in 2 Timothy 4. And what we gather from this, and what we see from the end of Acts chapter 28, is that Paul knew how to finish journeys well. You know, whether there in Acts chapter 28 or at the end of his life's journey, Paul was a strong finisher. And as we finish our journey through the book of Acts, I wonder what we can learn from Paul's attitude. You know, we're going to look at 2 quick principles that I think we see coming out of these 2 passages that I think Paul held and that we can take on in our lives and that we can focus on to help us be people who finish well, who share the gospel and finish well. And the first principle that I think we see that Paul holds is that the journey of life is a struggle. A journey of life is a struggle. Many years ago, when I was about 18 or 19, I spent a year up in the northeast of England, and one of the things that we liked to do, the people that I was with, we would often go down to the Lake District and go and visit and walk. And you know, there's a famous road in the Lake District that leads away from Lake Windermere. You know, it's called the Kirkston Pass. And the Kirkston Pass is really steep, and it reaches a height of about 450 metres. There's 3 routes that you can take to the top of the Kirkston Pass. But the shortest route is also the steepest, and it is called the Struggle. And we'll see it here on the screen. There's a picture of it. You can see a glimpse of just how steep it can be. And there's the road sign there with the Struggle. It says here, winter conditions can be hazardous. You bet it can. Probably not just in winter either. But it's called the Struggle. It's well named, isn't it? There's 400 metres of climbing. And I guess, you know, just when you start on that road, especially if you're walking or cycling, you've just got to keep going, because if you don't, you're going to start to slip back. You know, and Paul was a man who knew that life was a struggle. You know, the last few chapters that we've gone through in the book of Acts show us this. He's been falsely accused. He's been in prison. He's almost been killed. He's appealed for a fair trial in Rome. He's been shipwrecked. He's been bitten by a viper. He knows that life can be a struggle. But look at what he says in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7. He says this, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. You know, the Greek word here For fight is agonismo. It's where we get our word agony from. Agonismo. And it's the same word that the Greeks would have used to describe wrestling, the sport of wrestling. So in other words, you know, Paul is here is saying, I have wrestled. I have wrestled. I've struggled. But what Paul is really saying here is not that life is a struggle, you know, with all the ups and downs and the shipwrecks and the vipers and the trials that he's been put under. More specifically, Paul is saying that the Christian life is a struggle, that following Jesus is a struggle, that to be the sort of people God wants us to be, we have to struggle against ourselves, against our own desires, against our own egos even. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul uses the Greek word that actually means our egos, that you have to fight, you have to struggle against your egos, our own desires. And Paul was able to finish his journey well because he knew this. And do you know what? You and I need to understand this too if we're going to finish our life's journeys well. This ongoing wrestling match where our inner being, our ego is telling us to make life all about ourselves, to put ourselves first, to do what we want to do what benefits us. This battle, if you like, with sin. Now, in one of Paul's other letters to the Romans, in Romans chapter 7, he says this. He says, I know that good itself does not dwell in me, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. You can almost hear the struggle in his language, in how he writes. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, these are the things that I do. This wrestle, this struggle that he goes through. You know, deep within us is this desire to make life all about ourselves. And it will win. It will win. Unless I choose to struggle. Unless you choose to wrestle against those desires. You know, I don't know about you, but when I go shopping to the supermarket and I choose a trolley, the one without a doubt, the one I always choose, has those dodgy wheels on it that will always try and pull to the left, or they'll always try and pull to the right. And I just seem to find my time on those shopping trips trying to wrestle it back, trying to struggle back into a straight line. And life's a bit like that, isn't it? And this struggle that Paul talks about is a bit like this, that there's something inside of us that has a bias, that has a pull to want to do the things that we want to do, to want to make life all about ourselves. And Paul here is saying, we've got to struggle, we've got to wrestle, we've got to fight the good fight and keep ourselves back on the straight and narrow and make life not about us but about Jesus, and make life not about us but about other people. You know, if we don't struggle, we become more and more self-obsessed. And we start to just think about ourselves, and we indulge in self-pity. We become defensive when anybody says or suggests anything towards us. We refuse to see anybody else's point of view, and life becomes very black and white. We think we're always right. And then we start to think, well, nobody understands us. It just becomes all about us. C.S. Lewis, the great Christian writer, comments on exactly this struggle. And he says, if we don't fight, all that's left of us is a grumble. Look at what he says. He says, then there'll be no you left to criticise the mood or even enjoy it, but just the grumble itself going on and on forever like a machine. As we just focus on ourselves, if we give up with that struggle, this is what happens to us, and our world shrinks and shrinks and becomes smaller and smaller until all our life is just about us. We've got to struggle against this if we want to finish well, as Paul did. You see, God's plan isn't that our world shrinks and shrinks and shrinks. God's plan, I believe, is that our world gets and our lives grow and become bigger and bigger and include more and more people and include more of what God wants for us. You know, this is what it means. I really believe this is what it means to be open-handed. At the start of this year, at the start of this series, you know, we said this year let's let our focus be open-handedness. Not holding on to things for ourselves so our world becomes smaller and smaller, but let's open up our hands so our lives become bigger and bigger. We become more generous. This is what Paul is saying here. Fighting the good fight is being open-handed. It's being generous. It's struggling against making our lives about ourselves and opening our lives to other people. God's plan is that we live a life of love. And this is what Paul has struggled for. You know, in 2 Timothy 4, Paul says this. He says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. Now, I've opened myself up to other people, so I'm just giving of myself to other people. This literally here, Paul is saying in the original translation, he's saying, I'm spent. I've lived my life for others. I've poured it out for Jesus. I've poured it out for other people. I'm loving others. I'm not holding on. And this is the cost. You see, the journey of life is a struggle, but it's a struggle to love well. It's a struggle to love well. That's what we've got to be struggling for. To love other people. To love God well. And to love other people well. That's the greatest commandment, isn't it? When Jesus was put on the spot by the Pharisees and they said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, it's this. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and all your strength. And to love others as you love yourself. That's the good fight. That's the struggle that we've got to be fighting for. To love God with everything, 100%, and to love others as well. That's the good fight. That's what it means out to be poured out like a drink offering. And the result is this. In the end of Acts 28, verses 30 and 31, we come to this abrupt almost end to the book, where it tells us that Paul proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. This is Paul finishing well. This is him fighting the good fight. This is him struggling to love well. This is him being poured out like a drink offering, even when he's locked up, proclaiming the kingdom of God, teaching about who Jesus is. No grumbling. Notice that. No self-pity. No making life all about himself and saying, come and see me because I'm so sad I'm under house arrest. He's got a focus on others and a focus on the gospel. You know, the gospel doesn't grow when we grumble. The gospel's never going to grow if we grumble. The gospel's going to grow when we fight the good fight and when we struggle to love well. Now, how do we do this then? How do we do this? I think we get a clue in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It's a very famous bit of writing that Paul makes. And he says this, he challenges the Philippians. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. This is how we struggle to love others well. This is how we fight the good fight. When we make it about other people rather than ourselves, when we consider others better and more value than ourselves. We can turn this into a prayer, can't we? We can say, Lord, help me today to value others above myself. Help me to be humble and not selfish. Help me to be open-handed, to love others well. Why don't you make this your prayer? Why don't you pray this every day? Why don't each one of us do that? Lord, help us to love other people well. Just quickly as we begin to finish then, the second principle I think we can take from Paul is this. Is that he understood this, that the journey of the gospel goes on and on and on and on and on and on. You get the message, don't you? Now the gospel just keeps on going. You know, the story of Acts is really about the journey of the gospel. It's not about Paul. It's about the good news of Jesus. I mean, look again at how Luke finishes Acts chapter 28. This is from the Message, so a slightly different version. But it says this: for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there, confined to his own rented house, and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. You know, it's like, it does come to a sudden end, the book of Acts. But it's like Luke, who wrote it, is saying, look at all the tough stuff that's happened over these 30 years. Look at the persecution that the church has come under. Look at the imprisonment. Look at the deaths. Look at the trials. Look at the evil that people and the pressure people and God's church has been put under. And it's like Luke is saying, you know, you can imprison people, you can kill people, but you cannot imprison or kill the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because even under house arrest, this is what happens. Luke is saying, this is the star of the show. This is what the whole focus of the book is about. It's about the good news of Jesus Christ, and you cannot stop it. You know, back in 1993, one of the biggest films to be released came out. It was Jurassic Park, directed by Steven Spielberg. I'm sure that you've seen this film. If you've not, or just to remind you, an island has been given over to a theme park of dinosaurs. They've managed, using DNA and fossils, to resurrect dinosaurs. And they've created a theme park of dinosaurs. And the mastermind behind it all is Richard Attenborough. And he invites scientists to come and have a look at his island theme park of real life dinosaurs. And the scientists, at one point in the film, it's a real crucial bit of the film, they sit down with Richard Attenborough and they say to him, look, isn't this dangerous, having an island of dinosaurs? And Richard Attenborough says, no, it's all right. It's all right. We've got it under control, because every dinosaur on this island is female. So they can never reproduce. They can never become out of control. And one of the scientists who's there, Jeff Goldblum, the great actor Jeff Goldblum, he sits back and he makes the statement that is like a seminal bit of this film. And we're going to watch that clip now. This is his response to that.
It's not possible. Listen, if there's one thing the history of evolution has taught us, it's that life will not be contained. Life breaks free, it expands to new territories, and it crashes through barriers painfully, maybe even dangerously, but, well, there it is.
There it is.
You're implying that a group composed entirely of female animals will breed?
No, I'm simply saying that life finds a way.
It's a great moment in the film, isn't it? And did you hear what Jeff Goldblum said there? He said this. He said, life finds a way. No matter what you do, life will always find a way. And of course he's proved, I don't want to be a spoiler for you, but of course he's proved right. And the island does go out of control. Life finds a way. And do you know what? As I was preparing this message, as I was thinking it through, I was just reminded of that. Because if we want a way to sum up the book of Acts, and if we want a way to sum up what Paul believed, we can take that quote, and instead of using life, we can use the gospel. You know, this is the story of the book of Acts. The gospel would not be contained. The gospel breaks free. It expands new territories. It crashes through barriers, painfully maybe, even dangerously. The gospel finds a way. The gospel always finds a way. That's why this series has been called 30 Years That Changed the World. Because Paul understood this. You cannot stop the good news of Jesus. You cannot stop the gospel. And this is why Paul is able to finish his journey well. He understood that he wasn't the star of the show. He understood that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the star of the show. And so even staring death in the face, he doesn't grumble, but he preaches Jesus. And so the gospel goes on and on and on and on. The gospel will always find a way. And 2,000 years later, the gospel is still finding a way. You know, it's been incredible, hasn't it? During this time of lockdown, just how churches have grown, how the message has got out. There was something in the newspaper just 2 or 3 weeks ago that said an estimated 25% of the UK are tuning in to a church service every week. A quarter of the population are now watching church services. Why? Because the gospel always finds a way. The church doors are shut, but the gospel is just going to burst out. We cannot stop it. And so 2,000 years later, we step into the story. It's our chance. It's our turn to now finish the journey well. And we too need to understand and get into our heads and into our hearts that the gospel will find a way. And it goes on and on and on. It's our turn now. It's our turn to see the good news of Jesus continue to change the world. And to bring everything full circle as we struggle to love well, as we struggle to and fight the good fight to make life not about us, but about others. As we struggle to put other people first, then we start to share our stories. We start to share our lives. We start to share about the kingdom of God. We start to find a way to explain who Jesus is and to share our lives, so that we can see lives transformed by Jesus. That's our church's mission statement, isn't it? To make every moment count. To see lives transformed by Jesus. Why can we do that? Well, we can do that when we struggle and fight the good fight. And we can do that when we understand that the gospel always finds a way. And it goes on and on and on. Shall we pray together? Father God, thank you for these past 6 months. Thank you for this journey that we've made through the book of Acts. And we thank you for this finish, this big finish here in Acts chapter 28. Thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul, and thank you for what we can take from his life. Thank you that he knew how to finish well. Help us to take on board these principles. We invite you now, Holy Spirit, to come and do a work in our lives. Come and change us from the inside out. Help us to fight the good fight, to struggle against the desire to make life about ourselves. Help us to win little battles, even today, to make life about you and about others. And Holy Spirit, give us a passion for the gospel, I pray. Help us to understand that we're not the stars of the show, but the gospel, the good news of Jesus is. Help us to step up and play our part so the gospel can go on and on and on. In Jesus' name, amen.